turn with me, if you would, to the portion of God's Word that we have read together in Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28, and if we can read from the beginning of the chapter. Take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And so on. This evening we want to continue our study of the Old Testament, and we're looking this evening at the high priest or the priesthood. And you see that instituted in chapter 28. We have already seen that there are instructions that are being given for the offerings and for the tabernacle, for the setting up of a tabernacle and a sanctuary in the midst of God's people. Now there is the instruction given with regards to a high priest and the priesthood. We see that the priesthood in the Old Testament is but a shadow of the high priestly work and office of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. It's prefiguring, and it is in shadow a type of his priesthood. Now, we won't this evening get into the actual garments itself and look at these garments. Perhaps, as the Lord will enable us, we may do that next Lord's Day, if we are spared. We just want this evening to introduce the priest, the high priest, and the Levitical priesthood as it is set before us in Scripture. And the first thing we would notice is that it is the priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, the priesthood, the high priest, that makes, in many respects, makes Israel as a nation unique. It is the high priest that makes Israel unique. Israel as a nation were unique, as a small nation anyway. They spoke Hebrew. They had many traditions that would distinguish them from others. They were separated even when they were down in the land of Egypt. They were told by Joseph, say that you herd cattle, you're shepherds, and you look after cattle. They don't like shepherds. And if that's the case, when you go down into Goshen, you will be a separate people. They won't want to have anything to do with you. So they were, in many respects, already a unique and a people that were different to other nations. Yet there is one thing above all that makes Israel as a nation, as a people, utterly unique. That was the tabernacle, the sanctuary, the tabernacle that was there right in their midst. With all the vessels, with all the sacrifices, and everything that was involved in that tabernacle. That made them unique. But what made the tabernacle and the sanctuary unique was the work of the priest, the high priest in particular. The high priest went in, particularly in the Day of Atonement, he would go in once a year, not without blood, and he would enter through the second veil that only the high priest would go into, as you know. And there he would sprinkle upon the mercy seat. And God met with his people above the mercy seat. That made Israel unique. You imagine the nations round about. They had their gods. They had their idols. But to see a nation having a tabernacle and to see the high priest taking blood and going in, and to see Israel gathered as a nation watching and waiting to see that the high priest would return out of the most holy place, that must have enthralled them. They must have said, this is a people that's different to all other people. The work of the high priest made Israel unique. And is that not true today? The Apostle Paul says we have a great high priest. What is it that makes the Christian religion unique? Is it that we preach? Well, a Muslim cleric will preach. Is it that we sing? Many religions sing. Is it that we have a book? Many religions have a book. What makes the Christian religion utterly unique is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as our high priest. He is unique. And he makes the church unique. Who is a people like unto the Lord's people? Who is like thee? It is Christ himself in the midst of his people that makes God's people a unique people. Jesus Christ, the high priest, who has entered through the veil, not into the holy place made with hands, but who has entered into heaven itself, and there he intercedes on behalf of his people. That's unique. That distinguishes the true Christian church from every other religion that you would want to come across. The Apostle Paul says, we have a great high priest who has entered through the veil. Is that not what we're speaking of something this morning with the Apostle when he went to Ephesus? Was that not the uniqueness of his testimony? I testify unto you about bombs and killing people and going on the streets of Paris for religion. No, he says, I testify unto you about the gospel, the good news of the grace of God to hell-deserving sinners. And the gospel of the grace of God is bound up in the person of the great high priest, Jesus Christ. He came and he brought grace and truth. In him there is grace. In him there is forgiveness. In him there is a great high priest who intercedes on our behalf. Who is a people like unto the Lord's people? He makes the Lord's people, he makes the church of Christ unique. But secondly, the high priest himself in the midst of Israel was himself unique. The high priest in the midst of Israel was himself unique. There were many in Israel down through the history of God's people that were unique. Enoch, Moses, Abraham. They were unique persons. But here is an office that is singularly unique in the midst of Israel. Not everyone was able to be the high priest. Saul had judgment brought upon him because he sought to enter into the simple priesthood. And even someone like King David, the furthest King David could go was to eat the showbread on a day of necessity. That's as far as he could go. But the high priest was one who was unique in his office in the midst of Israel. He was to be taken from among them Aaron was to be appointed the high priest. Not even Moses. But Aaron was to exercise this office. And such was the uniqueness of this priesthood that it could only truly be fulfilled by one person, Jesus Christ the Lord. And you know, not even this priesthood is sufficient to demonstrate to us the glory of Jesus Christ. Not even the Aaronic priesthood was sufficient to demonstrate to us how unique the Lord Jesus Christ himself and his person is. Because there is another priesthood that we read of in the Old Testament. A priesthood that even the Aaronic Levitical priesthood does obeisance to. And that is the priesthood of Melchizedek. What a wonderful picture we have in Melchizedek. Possibly the highest aspects of priesthood brought into this one man. Without beginning of days, without end of days. No mother, no father. Priesthood and kingship brought together in one person. And Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. You see, even the priesthood of Aaron, the Aaronic priesthood, was not sufficient to declare to us the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not sufficient. It takes us to come to the priesthood of Melchizedek to demonstrate to us something of the glory. He was made a priest after the order of Melchizedek. When Aaron was brought into this priesthood, he was given garments. What garments Aaron had placed upon him. Think of the description that Isaiah gives to us of fallen human nature. From the soles of the feet to the crown of the head, there is no soundness. There is no beauty. Putrefying sores, boils, nothing of beauty. But take to yourself Aaron and make him garments that will show his glory and his beauty. Give him garments for glory and for beauty. How these garments must have been seen by the child in Israel. To witness the high priest in the midst of his people with these glorious garments, signifying glory and beauty. When Aaron was brought into this office, Aaron was given glory and beauty. The office itself bestowed upon Aaron glory and beauty. When Christ took upon him this office, he brought glory and beauty to the office. The office itself added no glory nor beauty to him, but he brought glory and beauty to the office. Think of the glory that the Lord Jesus Christ brought to the office of the priesthood, our great high priest, who was raised up out of the grave, who has gone through the veil and entered into glory itself. What glory he brings to that office. The glory of the only begotten Son of God. The glory of a divine person. Taking upon himself the office of the priesthood. A divine person. One who is equal with God the Father. One who is God of very God. Aaron, when he takes upon this office, he takes it as a mere man, a sinful man. The office itself gives him something of glory. He's now the high priest. God has called him to it. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, a divine person, taking upon himself this office, he brings glory to the office. He magnifies that office. As he rises up out of the grave, the death clothes are cast aside, and he is raised up as a glorious high priest. The Son of God, a divine person, has taken upon him the office of the high priest. Glory. But these garments were not only for glory, they were for beauty. When you go back to the Song of Solomon, if you remember a few weeks ago, we spoke about the church seeking her Savior. The church that looks and cries out, "Have you seen my beloved, the fairest among women?" And what does she see in him? She says, "He is the altogether lovely one, the chiefest among 10,000. My friend, this evening, do you behold your great high priest? And do you say he is the altogether lovely one? That there is absolutely nothing that you will ever find in him, but that is glorious and that is beautiful. His work as the high priest. Give to Aaron clothes for glory and for beauty." And how wonderful these clothes were. Do you ever notice that when you look at all the individual garments, they're not just there as thrown together as just any old garment, put on in any old way, as one that may rise up and tired and you just grab whatever comes and you put it on? Not at all. These garments are all united and bonded together as one. The ephod and the girdle and the robe, they are all united. The clasps that clasp at the top here, they are all bonded and brought together as one. The girdle and the ephod brought together as one. The ephod and the robe, they are all robes that are brought and bonded together. And that tells us, does it not, that the work of Jesus Christ as our high priest is one. One. After the order of Melchizedek, he is a priest, he is a king. And all the work that he does and accomplishes as our great high priest going through the veil in before the Father, it is one. He brings into the Father his own precious blood. It is finished. There is nothing more that needs to be done. He enters into the presence of his Father, and not one of those whom the Father has given to him will he forget. Will he neglect? He will bring them all. "I have prayed for them whom thou hast given me out of the world." I pray not for the world, but I pray for them whom thou hast given me out of the world. They are one, as I am one. as the Father is one, as our great High Priest, His work is one. His work is united. The ephod and the girdle and the robe are all united together, making His person glorious and making His person beautiful. Make unto Him, Aaron, garments for beauty and for glory. How beautiful the finished work of Jesus Christ. What glory to our great High Priest who has entered through the veil into the most holy place. And you notice here that as he enters into the holy place, the High Priest had to have compassion. He had to be taken from among the people. He had to have a sympathetic heart to his own people. He was taken from among them, Aaron and the priest, take them from among the people, that they may have sympathy with those who are out of the way, that he may have compassion upon the poor Israelite who comes. The Israelite ought to have seen compassion from above all people, the High Priest, because he was one with them. What glory and beauty there is in our great High Priest, in that he himself has been a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. There is nothing this evening that you will go through. There is nothing that you this evening will face tomorrow, the next day, next year. There is nothing that you will ever encounter in this world, but you can bring it to our great High Priest, because he knows what it was himself to be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He knew what it was to be despised and rejected of men. He knew what it was to have nothing. The birds of the air had nests and the foxes, they had holes. The Son of Man didn't have anywhere to lay his head. He knew what it was to be in poverty. He knew what it was to be in this world, to be spat upon and despised. He knew what it was even to face death. He knew what it was better than you do, what it was to face death, because he knew the death that he would undertake. When he looked into the cup, he saw it. So, my friend, no matter what problems, what troubles, what trials, whether they be in your home or in whatever it may be, in health or whatever it may be, the apostle says it's the gospel, the good news of the grace of God. That's the best news of all. And it's news that is to be found with Jesus Christ, your great High Priest. He is able to comfort you. He is able to strengthen you. He is able to lift you up when you are cast down, because he knows what it was like himself to be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. What it must have been like for the priesthood when the children of Israel watched the High Priest going in on the Day of Atonement and entering into the Holy of Holies. What it must have been like for Aaron the priest to minister. But think upon how he was appointed to his office. He was appointed to the office and made after a carnal commandment. But Christ's priesthood is after the power of an endless life. Aaron would die. He was appointed and made after the law of a carnal commandment. He would die. And his next in line, his eldest son would take over. down the line. But Christ has demonstrated that his priesthood is after the power of an endless life by his rising from the dead over death and the grave. He has demonstrated that he has that his priesthood is after the power of an endless life in that he has entered into glory itself. And there he ever lives to make intercession. An undying high priest. No wonder the apostle was able to say, we have a great high priest who has entered through the veil. And there he is for us. You go back to the Old Testament, and it was a testament and a time of representation. Starting from the child being born, the female child was represented by the male child in circumcision. It was the male child that represented, even the female child, represented by the male. When they came to the temple, they came and there was the priest. And they had to come to the priest, and the priest took their offering and offered it up to God, represented. And the high priest, Aaron, he represented them all. And he went into the holy place, made with hands. But think of this priesthood. There is now neither male nor female. Doesn't matter. Children are baptized, boys and girls, because there is neither male nor female. In Israel, there was the bond and the free man, but now there is neither bond nor free man. And neither is there even Jew or Gentile. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And you don't need to come through an earthly priest. You don't need to go into a place and confess your sins to a man behind a curtain. You don't need to come to any earthly priest. You can come to Jesus Christ himself. Why? Because we are all priests and kings in him. And you know, the wonder and the glory of it is that when you go, I think, is it Exodus chapter 19, I think it is. Here it is. Even before you come to the priesthood of Aaron, look what it says. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. If ye will obey my voice and keep my covenant, ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people of all the for all of the earth is mine. Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Peter takes that and said that's fulfilled in the coming of Christ. In the coming of Christ, the obedience is there in Christ. The perfect obedience is fulfilled. And now you are a peculiar treasure, a holy nation, and you are a kingdom of priests. And John says in Revelation, we are priests and kings unto God our Father. So that, my friend, you come into the holy place. You're not like coming to the holy place and giving it to a priest who then offers it up, and then you've got the high priest after that. In Christ Jesus, you are all one. He represents every single one. Such is the unique nature of his priesthood that you are all priests, and you can all now come to your great high priest. You don't need to come to any intermediary. You don't need to come to any priest. You are all priests and kings unto him. and he himself has entered into heaven, and you bring to him the sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. You are able to offer up unto him the sacrifices of your heart and of your lips. You can sing his praises from his word. You can offer up your prayers to him day by day. You don't need to go to Jerusalem. You can be in the quietness of your own home. And you can come to your great high priest who has entered through the veil. How wonderful the gospel, isn't it? How glorious the gospel. It's made provision. God has made provision for every single thing that you ever need. He's given you a great, he's opened the doors of heaven to you. He's given you a great high priest who's entered in there for you. And he gives the church a testimony to preach to you, the testimony of the grace of God. The amazing grace. The glorious grace of God. We said this morning, that's wonderful grace, isn't it? That the high priest bestows upon his people. You come to him and your sins are forgiven. He has offered up himself a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. And when you come in his name, you're sprinkled in the precious blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin and all iniquity. The high priest would walk, and we'll talk, God willing, we'll preach, God willing, maybe on the garments next week, but just one issue of the garments, the bells. The bells. They heard the sound of the high priest walking in their midst, the bells. And the psalmist says, oh, greatly blessed the people are, the joyful sound that know. Not that hear, that know it. Greatly blessed the people are, the joyful sound that know. The high priest walking in the midst of his people, and there is the sound of the bells. My friend, is that not what Christ does when you have the sound of the gospel ringing in your ears? When you leave God's house and you say, what a sound. The good news of God's redeeming grace. What good news when we hear the sound of our great high priest walking in the midst of his people. In a day when you will leave here, you'll put on your news tomorrow. Do you think you'll hear good news? Do you think that what comes down across from Paris will be good news? Do you think that when the next day, when this is gone, that you'll be hearing good news? My friend, I invite you to listen to all the news that you listen, week after week, month after month, and I tell you this, there's no good news. But this is good news. The grace of God, which Paul testified to the church at Ephesus. When he called the elders, when he came to Miletus, and he said, get the elders from Ephesus here, I want to speak to them. And he said, do you remember when I was among you? Do you remember when I was desperate to go into that amphitheater among the pagans and you held me back? I'm going to Jerusalem. I don't know what's going to happen there. But he says, you know, my life doesn't mean anything because I testified among you of the gospel, the good news of the grace of God, the undeserving love and mercy that God shows to hell-deserving sinners. And how do we get that? How is that gospel possible? Jesus Christ, our great high priest, has risen glorious from the dead with glorious garments. Garments for glory and garments for beauty. My friend, this evening, do you see the glory of Jesus Christ? Do you see his beauty? The beauty of the one who saves his people. Let us pray. Gracious and ever blessed Lord, we praise thy name for thy goodness and thy mercy to us this evening. We pray that thou would enable us to leave here and to rejoice in God our Saviour, to rejoice that we have a great high priest who has entered through the veil, whoever lives to make intercession for his people, a risen, glorified Saviour who has magnified and glorified the office of the priesthood by his own very person, and who has made the office beautiful by his own finished work. We bless thee that thou, O Lord, would show to us and reveal to us the glory of such a one, that we would be enabled to say, he is my all and in all. Bless us now and part us in thy fear and with thy blessing, for we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen.